Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in again each Sunday morning at this time. We also have a TV program entitled Searching the Scripture. It airs from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6. Please give a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs there, you'll find TV programs there, and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come to know God and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and be with us. We would love to have you come and see us. We have been discussing for the last few months the subject of sin. We have been looking at sins of the tongue. And last week we started looking at the last part of this lesson in how we must overcome misuses of the tongue. We ended up looking at James chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And we want to reread that at this time, James chapter 3, 16 and 17. There we read, "For that this wisdom is not does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." Now, we need to look for the wisdom that is above, not from the wisdom that is on the earth. The wisdom from above will help us how to not misuse our tongue. First of all, we need to meditate on proper things. We need to imitate the Psalms. In Psalms 119, verse 15 and 16. Psalms 119, 15 and 16. "I will meditate upon your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." We need to stop and smell the roses. Take time to ponder soberly our words before we speak them. Paul taught that we should meditate on right things in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And so we need to meditate on proper things. Meditating on His Word and spiritual things will fill our hearts and our minds with proper words, and they will be expressed in the words that we speak. Next, we need to fill our hearts with the knowledge of God. We can only partake of God's nature as we learn of it through His Word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 3, "As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue." How can we speak to others of God if we don't know those things ourselves? We are able to trust Him because we know Him and we know His Word. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul wrote, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day." You see, we need to fill our hearts with the knowledge of God, and we do that by the knowledge of His Word. The more of God's Word we know, and the more that it permeates our being, it will come out in the words that we speak. Next, we need to fill our hearts with the grace of God. When our hearts are filled with the grace of God, we will be busy using our tongues to teach others, not to slander them, not to abuse them, not to mislead them. Read Titus 2, 11 through 14. Listen to God's grace, then correctly apply it. You know, we often talk about grace, but we never know that grace has the ability to teach us. In Galatians 2, beginning in verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation appears to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteous and godly in this present age, looking forward to blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You see, we need to let God's grace fill our hearts, and we need to listen and correctly apply it. God's grace will teach us how we ought to treat others. Notice with me in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 through 11. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, to those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You see, we need God's grace to teach us that Jesus is Lord, and then to put his word in our hearts, his grace, the knowledge, to meditate on proper things. All of this will make us use better words and better sentences, and we will give more encouragement with our words instead of destroying people. Let us put the peace of God and let it rule our hearts. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, Colossians 3 verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. If we let Christ rule in our hearts, then he will control our tongue because he will control our mind. Express thanksgiving, tender mercy, and express humility. We will not complain about one another. We will not run each other down. We will not lie or deceive. We will not try to humiliate. But instead, we will edify each other and build each other up. We express forgiveness. We know that God will not forgive us if we're not willing to forgive others. We must have a forgiving spirit. That's how we let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And then we need to renew our hearts by the will of God. We are transformed as a child of God by first renewing our mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, Romans 12 and verse 2, we read, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You see, we need to conform our lives to be more in line with God in spiritual things than with the flesh. And then there's an important proverb that we need to give great consideration to. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, there is a very good admonition that we need to heed. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. A renewed mind will produce a renewed speech. If the mind is filled with the pollutions of this world, garbage will proceed out of our mouth. Our speech will be worldly. It will not be godly. If our hearts are filled with the will of God, then we can be conformed to his image by expressing things that will build people up, that will encourage, that will demonstrate love, will show humility, and will help lead them to the cross where the Lord can save them. Our tongue can do great things, or it can do very harmful, hateful, hurtful, and damaging things, not only to ourselves, but to others. Let us place in our hearts the things that will lead us to do things that will profitable. We must remove from our hearts evil, corruptness, bitterness, hate, malice, and ill will. All of those things, if we do not remove them, will corrupt our minds, and that corrupted mind will lead to corrupted words that will proceed and spew from our tongue. Guaranteed, that's going to happen if we don't take some things out of the way. What goes in is what comes out. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. So in doing so, you will both save yourself and those that hear you. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. You know, we are men and women who are free moral agents. That means that we choose what we say, what we do, and how we use our tongue. Now, the tongue is in our control. Yes, no man can tame it. It just means that we have to really work at it. We have to be careful. We have to give great consideration, thought, time. And we must do things in such a way that we weigh our words carefully. We put our brain into gear before we put our mouth into gear. You know what? You can always say you're sorry. You can always ask for somebody's forgiveness. But the pain and the hurt and the things that you allowed another person to experience because of your thoughtless words cause a lot of pain that can last for a long time. Wouldn't it be better to try to use our tongue in a way to uplift, to encourage, to demonstrate love, and to try to edify one another instead of tearing down, humiliating, talking about, gossiping about, lying about, provoking others to do evil things, and by making an hypocrisy of our life as a Christian? Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a child of God, your speech should portray that you are a Christian. You should not have to tell anybody you're a Christian when they hear you speak. How you use your tongue tells people about who you are and what you are. How can a person be a Christian and use his tongue in an unprofitable way? If you're at work and you tell dirty jokes, then you're not setting the proper example. You're not using your tongue in a profitable way. If you gossip, you know, gossip is done because somebody has to listen to it, and then somebody has to pass it on. If we listen or if we pass it on, we're guilty of misusing our tongue. We need to be better people, and we should never lie. We should never deceive. We should never tell half-truth. We should always be people who speak the truth. In Colossians 3, verse 9, we're told to put lying away. We are not to lie. We are always to tell the truth. Even when it causes people pain, we must tell the truth. If we don't tell the truth, then we're going to improperly use our tongue. Now, even though the tongue is small, as we read in James 3 when we began this study, it can cause unfathomable damage. It can cause damage that will be hard to repair. And so we need to be very, very careful in how we use our tongue, in what we say about others, how we express ourselves, how we demonstrate love, and how we teach people when we disagree with them. You know what? We disagree with people. That doesn't mean that we don't love them. Doesn't mean we don't care for them. Doesn't mean we don't respect them. But we can sometimes demonstrate that we don't by the harshness that we use our tongue. And so in conclusion this morning, let us make sure that we give great thought and great purpose to what we put in our mind, because that's what's going to come out in our words. Let our words tell people that we belong to God and not cause them to wonder. We need to use our tongues in such a way that it demonstrates to others that we are children of God. Does your tongue betray you, friend, or does it exemplify who you are? Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week when we will continue looking at another aspect of this terrible thing called sin.